comes from our very long, very involved, very complicated, remarkable gospel lesson. The story of the man, the unnamed man born blind, who was given his sight by Jesus. It is 41 verses long. And we did not chant it today, not just because of the changes we made in the math, because it would have taken forever. There are many parts of this long, involved gospel. The introduction of the man to Jesus, the actual healing, the controversy that Jesus had with the religious authorities after healing, because he healed on the Sabbath. And their eye that broke the Mosaic law. The controversy with the man himself, as he was interrogated by the religious authorities. The bringing in of his friends, of his parents, the ousting of the man from the synagogue. And because the religious authorities didn't like evangelists. And then the reuniting of the man with Jesus at the very end of the story, the climax of the story, when he saw Jesus, not just with his physical eyes, but with the eyes of his soul saw Messiah. And for each of these parts in the long, involved gospel, there could be hundreds of sermons preached. So this Sunday, I choose as the text mainly the beginning part of the gospel, the introduction of the man with Jesus, and the healing itself, some mention of the other parts. I think this will be enough to bring us to us today on this Rose Sunday. Bring us to us today in this new reality, the life that we've been asked to live at least for the next few weeks of our future. The beginning goes that Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and his disciples spot this man. They bring him to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what made him blind? Was it his parents' sin or his sin? And in asking the question, they revealed an ancient and horrible and cruel superstition that has been a law that has been here since as long as human thought. And that is that suffering and misfortune are somehow tied to divine providence as punishment for wrong, punishment for sin. Now, indeed, sometimes there is a direct link between sin and misfortune. We, as human beings, and our irresponsibility often pollute our air, our streams, and babies drink, and babies breathe, and babies get ill. That is the direct link between sin and suffering. An abusive parent might say to a child, I wish you were never born. You'll never be anything in life. And that child has to grow up scarred by those toxic and abusive words. Yes, sometimes there's a link between sin and suffering, but often not. In one sweep of the hand, Jesus obliterated that cruel superstition. And the superstition was made all the more cruel that if you believe that suffering was divine providence, that left the sufferer in an amazing aloneness of life. Because if it's divine providence for your suffering, who am I to offer a hand of cure or care to you? But Jesus said it was neither his sin nor his parents' sin. It was that the works of God might be revealed in his life. And then he turns to the disciples, and he does with his disciples what he does all of us in the teaching. He taps their chin. Because the disciples, like all humanity, were in the weeds of their small thinking, their blame game, their linear way of thinking. And he said, look up. There's more to this. The works of God can be revealed. And notice he says, we must do the work of God while the light is in the world. He didn't say, I am the light of the world and I will do the works of God. Yet, one of the themes of the story is that he is the light of the world. But he says to his disciples, we must do the works of God who sent me. And as he said to his disciples and he said to us in the most difficult of times, he said, therefore for the grace of God go I, that beautiful phrase. He says to his disciples, you are that grace. You are the hands and the feet on this earth of God's grace. You are the conduit of God's grace on this earth. Now go, reach out your hand in cure and in care. And so the man was healed. This story has some curious details that differentiate it from other healing stories that the gospel knows. That the man never asked to be healed. So many people in the Bible who are healed by Jesus are the ones that go and beg him to heal them, to ask for their healing, or for the healing of someone they love. This man never asked. He was brought to Jesus by the disciples simply as the object of his disciples' theological debate. What caused the blindness, his sin or his parents? Also, this is a unique story because his healing is not instantaneous. It's long, it's involved, and it's messy. So many of the healing stories of Jesus are instantaneous. The woman touched him on the garment, she was healed. He would just say a word, and the person would hear or touch them, and they would be healed. I love the story of the fifth chapter of Matthew, where the centurion comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, my servant is paralyzed. Can you heal him?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I will come." And the centurion says, "No, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and he will be healed." And Jesus spoke the word. And when he went home, he realized at the very moment that Jesus spoke the word, his servant was healed. But not so in this story. The man stood before Jesus, Jesus spit in his hand. And that makes sense because in the ancient world, saliva was believed to contain healing properties. But Jesus mixed the saliva with mud and spread the mud over the eyes of the blind man and then said to the blind man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." Now I've often wondered what that walk, what that journey was like from the feet of Jesus to the pool of Siloam. So a blind man walked through the streets trying to find a pool with mud spread over his eyes. He must have been a spectacle of laughter, perhaps ridicule, and I can only imagine what was going on in his thoughts. There was no guarantee that he would be healed. And what if he were? What if he did receive his sight? He was only good for begging. He had no education. He had no trade. I would think that at any time, he might have been tempted to quit on that journey. I'm reminded of the words of the second verse, the beautiful hymn, "Just As I Am," that I think might embody the thoughts of that blind man making his way to the pool of Siloam. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting some fears within and without, for the Lamb of God I come." He put one foot in front of the other, and he made it to the pool of Siloam, to all the messiness and the ridicule and the doubt of that journey. And he watched. And he gained his sight. But was it then the end of the story? Does he live happily ever after? No, the messiness continues. He regained his sight only to be interrogated by the religious authorities, have his parents brought in who had no pleasure of being there, have some of his friends come and even deny that they knew him. And then be ousted in a humiliating way from the synagogue because his answers did not please the religious authorities. And then, in the end, he is reunited with Jesus. And he sees Jesus, miracle of the story, not just with his eyes, but his soul sees him. The soul meets the soul mate in the love and the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus. And he sees Jesus. And he becomes a follower. What a messy journey. And then the story ends. We never know what happens to the man that regained his sight. His story is lost to the ages. But I would propose, I predict, that his messiness did not end. I would predict that he still had challenges and trials and tragedies and difficulties in his life trying to make it. But the difference is this. Through the messiness of his life, the day he died, he had now the presence of the love of God in the incarnation of his life. He knew the love of Jesus. He had a purpose and a centeredness that can never be taken away from him. And that is the promise of this story. It is the promise of the Eucharist. It is the promise of the church. It is the promise of our faith that come what will, whatever the phrase is, no matter how messy our life is, that God's presence will be there. Our life is messy at this point. But Christians have had this kind of messiness and worse in days and centuries past. This is very bad. But the promise is that the love of God is with us still and is with us real. And during this horrific time that we're facing as a world, when we begin to doubt or get down or lose hope, maybe close our eyes and just imagine and think of the man born blind, making his way to the pool of Siloam, making his way to the messiness of his life, having with him the very love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Because that is what we have today in this church and in our faith and in one another. Amen. Amen.